When we think about the ECG picture of De Winter T waves and the ECG picture of acute posterior infarction, two very different images come into our mind. De Winter T waves are those giant T waves that are seen in usually two or more anterior leads, often beginning with some J-point ST depression and rapidly rising to tall, widened T waves that tower over the corresponding R wave in the lead you are looking at. The clinical significance of recognizing De Winter T waves in a patient with chest pain is that this tells you there is subtotal, if not complete, LAD, that is left anterior descending, coronary artery occlusion. So in the patient who has not yet completed their infarction, recognition of De Winter T waves provides urgent indication for prompt cath with need for acute reperfusion. A very different ECG picture is usually seen with acute posterior infarction. The anterior leads of the heart see the mirror image of the posterior wall of the left ventricle. So with acute posterior infarction, instead of seeing the ST segment elevation of an acute infarction, we see the mirror image opposite shape of ST segment depression in usually at least two, if not three or four of the anterior leads. On occasion, there may even be some ST depression in all of the six chest leads. But when the cause is posterior infarction, the amount of ST depression will be maximal in lead V2, lead V3, or lead V4, if you are dealing with posterior infarction. So, in a word, acutely, the picture of giant anterior De Winter T waves clearly looks different than the ECG picture of acute posterior infarction, in which instead of the giant tall T waves of De Winter, you see anterior ST depression. All of that said, the key word is acutely. By this I mean that during the initial hours of infarction, the ECG picture of De Winter T waves and acute posterior infarction usually look very different and will rarely be confused. But what if we looked at the patient after those first few hours? We know that the course of serial ECGs as patients evolve in acute infarction may look very different in different patients. In those patients in whom the acute event is initiated by acute coronary occlusion, after a period of time, either through treatment with thrombolytics or with prompt cardiac catheterization and angioplasty, or spontaneously, there will be a reopening with reperfusion of the culprit coronary artery. The point to emphasize is that even when no thrombolytics are given and no angioplasty is done, the acutely occluded artery will on its own spontaneously reopen. And when it does, the patient's chest pain will usually decrease, if not completely resolve, and the elevated ST segments of acute infarction will come down, as T waves in those leads overlying the areas of acute cardiac injury will deeply invert. This development of deep T wave inversion in those leads that a short while earlier manifested marked ST elevation is known as the development of reperfusion T waves. Putting these concepts together, with acute posterior infarction, instead of seeing the ST segment elevation of acute infarction, the anterior leads show a mirror image opposite picture in which there is ST depression in the anterior leads. And when there is reperfusion of the culprit artery, which with acute posterior infarction is most often the RCA or right coronary artery, but could also be the circumflex artery, instead of seeing deep T wave inversion, we see the mirror image opposite picture in the anterior leads, which is development of tall peak T waves. This is how posterior infarction, if enough time has passed for there to have been spontaneous reperfusion, posterior infarction with reperfusion will show tall peak T waves that might resemble the tall peak T waves of De Winter. All of this said, there are still clues to help us distinguish between posterior infarction and De Winter T waves. First and foremost is the history. While there are no specific time limits, a longer history of symptoms, especially if more than a day has passed since symptoms began, a longer history favors an evolving posterior infarction as the cause of tall-peaked anterior T waves. In contrast, the tall-peaked T waves of De Winter that result from acute LAD narrowing or occlusion tend to be seen in patients with a shorter presenting history. Evolution of De Winter T waves to frank anterior infarction is generally accompanied by loss of R wave amplitude and obvious ST elevation in the anterior leads. Some additional clues to help distinguish posterior infarction from De Winter T waves include the following. Most patients with posterior infarction also show acute changes in the inferior leads with reciprocal ST depression in lead AVL. The rare exception to this is when there is isolated posterior infarction. But other than this uncommon occurrence, I look for at least a comparable amount of inferior lead ST elevation as the amount of anterior ST depression when there is acute infra-postero MI. Now, it's true that acute occlusion of an LAD coronary artery with wraparound may also cause inferior lead ST elevation, but with LAD narrowing or occlusion, the relative amount of acute anterior lead T-wave peaking or ST elevation tends to be greater than the amount seen in the inferior leads. Lead AVL may also provide insight, because with acute LAD occlusion, especially if the proximal LAD is involved, there tends to be ST elevation in lead AVL, whereas with acute infra-postero MI, lead AVL shows reciprocal ST depression. R-wave progression tends to be quite different between these two entities. With De Winter T-waves from acute LAD narrowing or occlusion, R-wave progression is usually poor due to loss of anterior forces. In contrast, R-wave progression is either maintained with posterior infarction, or there may be development of a telltale, much taller than expected R-wave in leads V1 or V2, as the mirror image of what might be seen in posterior leads when there is posterior infarction. Finally, the shape of the depressed J-point in anterior leads may strongly suggest one entity or the other. Many patients with De Winter T-waves do manifest some J-point ST depression before the giant T-wave rapidly ascends to its peak. But this ascent to the T-wave peak tends to be unusually steep. In contrast, with acute posterior infarction, there is often a shelf to the depressed ST segment, which usually looks very different than the rapidly ascending T-wave seen with De Winter T-waves.